But let's answer some Hey Joe questions.
Joe cracked the dawn.
Hey Joe, brought to you by Oak City Sports Cards, oakcitycards.com. First one from Justin. Hey Joe, which day do Americans deserve off of work more? The Monday after the Super Bowl or the first day of the NCAA tournament?
I would rather have the day after the Super Bowl off because I just don't want to get up and go through the carpool. Whereas today is a day that every company knows that their employees aren't going to work. So you can sit around and pretend like you're going to work. Like now, I've never tried to cure cancer. I don't dig ditches. I don't do what I'm trying to tell you is I don't do important work.
Yeah, no.
So I've only worked at places where we care about the NCAA tournament. Mm-hmm. So I have no actual practical experience in this matter. But I would imagine if you know you had an office job, if you did like a normal office job, they know that the next 2 days are completely people are not going to be at their best output. They know this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like you're going to put like, you know, the TPS reports due on the first day of the NCAA tournament, right? Whereas the day after the Super Bowl, you should realize like everyone just enjoyed themselves the night before.
Yeah.
The day after the Super Bowl is the one that just annoys me that the NFL can't just, you know, get up with my plan and extend the season by one more week, put an extra bye week in there, put an extra open date, and just get us to the President's Day.
But you know, we still work that day.
We do, and a lot of people do. But you know who doesn't?
School.
Teachers. Yeah. School.
I get
That's my
saying.
Primary responsibility.
I get what you're saying. So here's the thing about the NCAA tournament. It's something that, for the most part, you're going to have on in the background while you work. You are not capable
of
this.
Yeah, I kind of want a phone call because I kind of want like a person who has a normal, regular job.
Yeah, you're
and how do they
right.
handle? Because we're not equipped to answer this. You're not equipped to answer this either.
I can do a show while the tournament's going on.
No, you can do the show. That's fine.
Yes.
But you're not a normal person
working
at a job.
Yeah, I get that part. Here's what I've learned, though, to your point. I don't think today is any different than most days in an office job. I'm talking about a straight-up office job.
I disagree because everybody has a bracket. No, I think everyone has a bracket, though.
What I'm saying is what I've learned and what I've read and what I've experienced, especially from our listeners, is that there's a lot of people listening to a bunch of other stuff or having something on in the background.
Like in general. Okay.
You know how I know this? Because I know a lot of y'all are at work when these morning soccer matches are taking place. And what do I see on my timeline?
A lot of tweets.
A lot of all caps, Messi! Like, well, wait a minute. It's like 10:30 in the morning. You're not working? Yeah, you're working, but you're working an office job. You're probably hiding in your cubicle. Your boss isn't walking around, and you're watching it or having it on in the background while you're knocking out some TPS reports, right?
What would you say you do here? Well, it was CBS that created the window that closes or that you can click on and look, I'm just still doing
totally
work.
Working.
It's a spreadsheet.
I'm totally working. It was a keystroke.
Right.
All you had to do is go boop boop and then all of a sudden it looks like you're working on your documents. Cool. Working on some sort of spreadsheets.
I'm not keeping up with my bracket. I don't know what you're talking about.
No, and I'm not trying to belittle this. Like I said, I know a lot of our afternoon audience is sometimes streaming us while they're at work. I'm just saying that there's probably more slacking off in a 9-to-5 job, especially with the like of social media and everything else, than we care to admit. How much productivity is actually lost? Now, you want to get into a deeper conversation? I mean, studies have shown that a 4-day work week actually creates more productivity. Just saying. All right, next up.
Say it ain't so, Joe. Say it ain't so.
From Andrew, hey, Joe, did you forget UNC Asheville is in the NCAA tournament?
We did, actually.
We did.
Sorry.
And I was just in Asheville at all of their wonderful breweries, and I should have gotten the governor a beer from Asheville, but it just so happened to be that the road to nowhere was kind of like a perfect little jab for the gov.
I felt so bad about not referencing UNC Asheville that I actually have them in my Sweet 16.
Perfect.
For the WRAL Bracket Challenge. I you know what's liberating about filling out brackets now? I'm not trying to win the brackets. So I know I'm not going to win the WRAL Bracket Challenge, which you can go to WRALsportsfan.com and sign up for it. You still have time ahead of the start of the tournament.
An hour and 15 minutes.
So you know what I do?
Went for the good story.
I fill out a bracket that I'd like to see. So I've got NC State and Duke in the Final Four. Because
it feels like 83.
It feels like 83. Houston's right
there.
You
got Houston there, too?
I got Houston winning it all.
Love it.
But I got Houston beating Duke.
Okay.
I got Houston beating Duke. I feel like there's symmetry. If State Duke happens in the Final Four.
So you have Houston. I have Houston. The governor has Houston. Cox, who you got?
In the Final Four or winning it
just
all?
To win it.
Kansas.
Okay.
Right. I feel like not a lot of people are talking about Kansas this year.
Which means they're going to win it again.
Right?
Next up.
Don't do that to me. Lean
back. For Martin, hey, Joe, will Duke be able to handle Oral?
Yeah, they're young. Should be able to do it. Shouldn't be a quick out for them.
Max Abmus has a history in this tournament. He does.
Okay.
It's a scary opening rounder.
Next up. Yeah!
From Eric, hey, Joe. How many more transfers / decisions to leave do we see from the Tar Heels? Setting the over-under at 3.5.
Well, we're already at 2 that we know of. Justin McCoy and Tyler Nickel announced, or they're in the transfer portal. I can't imagine they're going to come back. Styles had done radio this week with Brian Hanks in Kinston and left the door open for a potential transfer. I'm going to go with over 3.5. We're already at 2. I think we're going to go over on this. I see Caleb Love transferring as well.
You're saying more?
More than 3.5.
So a total of 6 new.
Yeah,
I mean, I think every team's going to have 5 to 6 new players every year.
Mm-hmm.
Every year. And this is one of the great Gottmanisms of all time. And this is from 10 years ago. And he would tell me, you know, when a player leaves NC State, it's always the coach's fault. Always. That's what the parents tell him or the AAU coach tells him. Ah, well, it's because the coach stinks. But when they leave Kentucky, when they leave Carolina, when they leave Duke, when they leave the Blue Bloods, it was, well, it's got to be your fault. It's not Roy Williams' fault.
Yeah.
It's not Mike Krzyzewski's fault.
Player didn't want to do the work.
It's not, but you got to put the work in.
Yeah.
You got to stick to it.
Yeah.
You got to pull yourself up by the bootstraps. So now that those Hall of Famers and heavy hitters are gone, you're going to see that across college basketball. Guys are going to leave. Henry Coleman, by the way. Remember Henry Coleman?
Mm-hmm.
Playing for Texas A&M. Actually, is pretty important for Texas A&M.
Yeah,
one of my favorite teams in this tournament for no reason at all. I don't have a 45-1 ticket for Texas A&M to make the Final Four. No. Not me. Mm-mm. I don't have that. That wouldn't make my whole year. Mm-mm. No.
Just, you're setting yourself up for disappointment. You know that, right?
I know, and I picked against him.
Oh, boy.
This is why you only do golf picks.
Thank you.
Even then, it can sometimes ruin a weekend. By the way, do you have the golf on right now?
I do not.
Oh, good for you.
I do not.
Next up.
Whoa.
From Mitch, hey, Joe, are you surprised folks are still talking about UNC skipping the NIT?
I don't. Here is what I am. I'll be honest. Shout out to Ramar, who's a longtime listener back in the 850 The Buzz days and 99.9 The Fan. And he pointed out something to me on social media that I also was kind of like, dang, guys. The surprise is the amount of copium being ingested by UNC fans for this season that we're now playing the what about game about NIT, right? So I saw a lot. I had said some people tweeting us when I put out Hey Joe questions. He's like, well, why wasn't Duke ripped as much as UNC's getting ripped for what happened in 2021? And I'm thinking to myself, well, guys, what was different about 2021 versus 2023? I can't quite put my finger on it. What do you think it is, Joe?
Was Duke not the preseason number one?
Well, there was not even a preseason number one or not. They exited the ACC tournament on a COVID-19 protocol, and they shut it down after that.
Right.
Okay. So in 2021, there was some grace for people who said, you know what? We ain't doing this. Remember, Nate Oates became a household name that season because he ripped Duke for shutting it down for a little bit in the middle of the season. So it was a weird year, guys. So yeah, a little grace for how that all played out, okay? Don't talk to NC State fans about the baseball tournament. Regardless. But I also have, you know, there's also, you know, people bringing up NC State and the NIT back in 1971. Like, y'all, you're coping hard after this. And the surprise, as Ramar pointed out, the surprise is that whole ending Coach K's career thing did not have the lasting effect that I thought it would have. I'm ready to admit that I got that wrong. I got it wrong. Because if the Caleb Love dagger was as impactful as we thought it was last year and as impactful as UNC fans thought it would be, okay? We're not even a year anniversary yet, and people are coping really freaking hard about it.
You know, I enjoy to zig when others zag.
Yes.
I remember we were doing radio from the hotel in New Orleans for the last day, the last 2 days that we were in New Orleans. Duke had lost, and I remember sitting in that hotel room. I did a shot of Jotego, and I said, you don't know it now, but this is a good thing for Duke. This is a good thing for John Shire. This is actually the best thing for John Shire. You don't want to hear it right now, Duke fans, but the truth of the matter is, it was the best thing that could happen to John Shire. And I actually saw our friend Josh Graham, you know, he does a lot with BDOT, who you know, is now doing a lot with North Carolina. And even BDOT was like, Duke reminds me of this season, Carolina from last year. So, you know, I think we just need to get out of these definitive statements of when the rivalry is isn't over.
You get caught up in the moment. But you get caught up in the moment.
I think it still is and still can be a great riposte. Right? Like, if you're a Carolina fan and you're hanging out with one of your Duke fans and they want to get mouthy with you,
well, then
hey, cool. Remember what happened?
Remember New Orleans?
That was kind of cool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's how it should go. That's how it should go.
Yes.
Like, some people are getting on me like, oh, the governor's never going to talk to you again. Like, I've got news for you. Yes, I went to NC State. I graduated from NC State. The governor is a double Tar Heel. So when I gave him a hard time, you know what? That's what this area has been forever, for all time. And I hope it remains that way for all time. Does the governor hate me like some Carolina fans do?
No.
He was taking it in the spirit with which it was meant. He was having fun. He understood it.
He also got you back when...
Always.
He always gets you back because in the middle of the bracket reveal, when you pointed out, like, hey, governor...
You're in trouble.
Just so you know, we got the same picks. He immediately looks at the camera, misses no time, and goes, y'all got a dry erase? Like, look, people have fun with it. It's supposed to be fun. Next up...
How you doing?
From Mark, hey, Joe, what's your favorite True TV programming other than the NCAA tournament?
This is the comedians, right? The four guys with the one guy who laughs I can't stand.
Yeah, Impractical Jokers.
Right. My kids love that show. Or they used to. God, that one guy who laughs like a hyena. I can't stand him.
What was it? Was the Jamie Kennedy Experience?
Ooh.
Wasn't that a True TV show? At some point.
Anyway. Hulu has completely warped my sense of what's on what channel.
It's funny.
It just tells you what's on, and that's what I watch.
It's funny you mentioned that because tell me... You still have cable.
Yeah.
Without telling me you still have cable by making the tired jokes of, oh, happy, what channel is True TV on? I don't know, because when I pull up Hulu, it tells me what game is on.
Here's
I'm
the
good.
Game. Watch the game.
Hulu knows me, man.
Oh, yeah.
Hulu's a wild
scary.
Thing. What's funny about
scary.
What's funny about Hulu is that it'll DVR games automatically now because it understands that I watch. It understands I watch State, Carolina and Duke, but
and
you know
Canes.
Do you know who else
the two
it thinks?
Canes games I get.
Do you know who else it thinks I watch on a consistent basis? Clemson.
Ooh.
It records all the Clemson football games. I'm like, why does it record Clemson football games? Oh, that's
fair
right.
Fair enough.
When I got Hulu, that's when they were like reeling off. They were, you know, Trevor Lawrence years and everything else. All right, I think we got time for one more. Are there any more?
There are none.
No more. All right, so let's get an OG mixtape contestant, 8605FAN, 8605326. We got tickets to go see TLC and Shaggy bringing their Hot Summer Nights tour to Coastal Credit Union Music Park with special guests En Vogue and Sean Kinston. Shorty, I can take you there. Now, call 8605FAN, 8605326. We got a theme for the OG mixtape.
Today is the best day of the year, and as such, we have the best OG mixtape of the year.
Gotcha. So, call now. Win those tickets. If you go 5 for 5 on the OG mixtape, you'll win the Arctic Tumbler with the fan logo on it. Again, that's 8605FAN, 8605326. While we wait for a contestant to play the OG mixtape, Jim Boeheim was on PTI yesterday. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of cringed when I saw his face on my television screen yesterday when he was yucking it up with Tony Kornheiser and Mike Wilbon, his boys. And I always think when I watch that kind of stuff, I think, why can't he be like this all the time?
That's the way he is with his peers, too.
Yeah.
Like, all the coaches we talk to, they all love him.
He's a super personable guy, and you see it on TV. So why is he a jerk to everybody else.
I know why he's a jerk to everybody else. Are we going to a break or are we talking about this?
No,
right
we're
now?
Waiting for an OG mixtape okay. call, but yeah, go ahead.
He is this way because when he was coming up, this is when the Big East was the Big East.
Yeah.
Okay. And he is the coach. He is the Mike Krzyzewski of Syracuse. He is you are identified. Syracuse is identified by Jim Boeheim. That's mm-hmm. what I mean. The success of that program is tied to Jim Boeheim. And early on, like his 87 team was an all-time great team. You will never convince me otherwise.
Yeah.
Sherman Douglas, Ronnie Cicely, that is one of my favorite college basketball
teams. That's a great squad.
Sherman Douglas might be my all-time favorite college basketball player of all time. He was unbelievable. They lose in the championship game to Keith Smart, not Steve Alford, but Keith Smart hits this baseline runner. It was the dying days of Bobby Knight at Indiana, his last title, and it's one they should have won. And all of the criticisms for Boeheim were, well, he can recruit, but he can't coach. And you got to remember, he was competing against the lovable Louis Carnesecca at St. John's. He was competing against the Death Star in Georgetown, the height of Hoya Paranoia. Then you had other little lovable teams like Providence and Ricky Pitino mm-hmm. when Billy Donovan was an actual player.
Well, Rick Pitino will probably be back in the Big East soon.
Right? So you had all of these different characters in the Big East. And there was Jim Boeheim, the nerd. He's always been bald as long as I can remember. Mm-hmm. He's always had glasses as long as I can remember. He was like a basketball nerd is what he was. And he didn't have the flashy personality. And he could recruit. That's what it was. He could recruit as if recruiting is not part of coaching. Memo, it is. He could recruit, but he couldn't coach. And so it took him so long to get over the hump.
Yeah.
To finally, he truly got respect in 95 and 96. Those are the years he got respect. Then he obviously gets the one and done, Carmelo Anthony. His second wife, Julie Boeheim, I will argue to this day, softened a lot of his media personality. But it's been in the last 4 or 5 years where he's kind of just been this old, cranky old guy. And he's even more so, like legitimately now, not just the 30-year-old cranky old guy, but an actual cranky old guy. And obviously there's been some other issues off the court that have affected what's gone on with him at the end of his career. But it's truly a bizarre ending. It's just a bizarre chapter to a otherwise unbelievably stellar Hall of Fame career.
That's
47
that's
years,
what
Joe.
He created.
Joe, we won't do anything 47 years.
Well,
47 years is... No, Joe.
Gold.
No, Joe.
Gold will.
No. Nope.
Gold
not will. Even gold.
No,
we'll
no,
get
gold's,
there.
Gold's almost there.
How many years? No.
He's almost there. He's getting there. He's probably about 5 more years away
from
that.
Gold's 10 years older than me. He's not. He didn't start in the radio business at 10.
I'm pretty sure he did.